as we go day by day and week by week through our lives, we come across epidemics, pandemics, and all kinds of injustice that's done to us and done to others too. And you always pay for that. But the whole thing is, as our country and the world too, but especially the states going through this darkness of the black folks and the police and all of that going on, and then the virus still going on. Through all of that darkness, you can get gloomy. There's no doubt about it. But we that have faith, and I preached on faith, didn't I, last Sunday? In the midst of all of that darkness, we hold the knowledge that the rays of light always shine through. We don't have to go through the darkness like the unsaved do. Those that are lost are not in the family. They're estranged from God. But even during the difficult times, maybe we can reflect and have a different take, a different perspective on the blessing as we study about old man Grudge. Boy, people like to carry grudges. Most people have nursed a grudge at some point in their life. Bad things happen to good people all the time. You know, they think that's a new saying or something, you know. All you got to do is go to the oldest book in the Bible and you find out that bad things happen to good people. Nobody better than Job. But you can be hurt by a loved one. Loved one's betrayal. Or maybe a co-worker. Maybe some kind of a personal slight that someone throws your way. You take it personally, you know. But when you get hurt, then you get a grudge that you hold and carry. You know, God didn't make us to carry things. In our minds, in our emotions, He made us to have bones and ligaments and tendons and things, and then the muscles to make those things move. You don't have muscles, you can't do anything. So the more muscle you can build up, the better it'll be for you. You can do more things. But He doesn't want us to carry grudges, because when you do that, it just makes you feel worse. In fact, stewing over past slights you get a mire of resentment. You start to resent people. Not a good way for a Christian to go through life, that's for sure. Then you always got the undercurrent of hostility, distrust. Leviticus 19 and in verse 18 says there that thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. In other words, this didn't come from psychiatrist or doctors or medicine or anything. No, He says, I am the Lord. I'm giving you the answer. I want to give you five short things. Of course, on a Wednesday, it's a short Bible study. At least I try to keep it that way anyway. Give you five different things that can maybe help you or someone you know that's carrying a grudge in your life. Number one is you can be angry, but you can't stew in that anger. Ephesians 4. Get some answers from God here. Might help us in the middle of the week. Definitely in our life every day. Ephesians 4, verse 26, we're familiar with. Afraid we don't practice it. Ephesians 4, 26, be ye angry and sin not. How would you sin? Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So, you can't stew in your anger towards someone. If you do, you will get a grudge. And you'll just keep carrying it. Because you deserve to have that grudge against that person. So all of the weight goes on you. Do you ever figure it out? The weight doesn't go on the other person that did something wrong to you. It goes on you. So you carry it. God is well aware that injustice, that's not fair. Lots of injustice in the world. God knows all about it. You don't have to tell him every little thing. Even when we're praying, you know, we don't have to tell God the story and, you know, what happened, this and that. God already knows. Just pray for the person. God already knows what it's all about. So we need to not carry that anger over to the next day. He gives you permission to be angry one day. But when you carry it over more than that and you sleep on it, look out. So we need to rein in those angry feelings quickly. And there's many reasons not to let angry feelings stew. Anger clouds our judgment. You got thoughts of seeking vengeance instead of seeking resolution. When you're angry, angry people, they plot and they punish. Boy, I'll get him back. Instead of being like a Christian, try to correct misunderstandings. You can also ward off the physical things. You know, you carry a grudge, it's going to affect you. Emotional problems, physical problems. Research has shown that bearing a grudge, you can have cardiovascular disease, which I have. I'm not carrying any grudge, but I got it from my father. Blame him. You hold a grudge, you can have pain disorders, stomach ulcers, anxiety, depression. You know, the Bible calls us to love your neighbor. Is that what we just read? Back in Leviticus? Yeah. That's how people that are going to get along in life and not die early because of these things, just more weight, stress for you to carry on your life, it's a foolish thing to do. So Scripture discourages us from carrying hatred Let that thing go. Instead, Scripture encourages you to rebuke your neighbor gently if he consists on causing strife. Some people are just troublemakers. They just stir up trouble. And most of it goes back to some hurt, some way, somewhere else. And they've carried that for years. Galatians 6. This is not an uncommon thing. And that's a shame. It should be very uncommon. Shouldn't be common. Galatians 6, 1 tells you, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, we're supposed to bring it up to someone that is carrying a grudge or has hurt you. Talk about it. Try to restore them in the spirit of meekness. Back there in Leviticus, we should have read the verse right before. Let's go back. We'll jump around here a little. Right before Numbers. Leviticus 17. Or 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 17. That kind of went along with 18 that we already read. 17 says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Somewhere along the line, he's going to be told he's wrong. With the right heart attitude, but it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Moses writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's the direct method of addressing the wrongdoer. It helps to appease your anger, and hopefully it also helps to restore the wrongdoer. So that's the first thing. The second thing is found in Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. Now you see, each one of us have self-will. We have choice. If you're wise, you want to be right with God, you'll choose to be kinder than you really feel. Act kinder. Have a soft answer for someone that's coming at you hard and giving you bitter words, whatever. Because we already know about people that lash out at everyone in the room when they're upset. And that angry person brings tension into every situation, and then others react defensively against that. So one way to start acting kinder is to change the way you speak to those against whom you hold a grudge. Make sure you don't harbor resentment against. In a reasonable and polite way you speak, for it's for your own good. Proverbs 15:1 does say it very clearly, doesn't it? You maybe, you know, don't fight fire with fire. If you have a house that's on fire, we call for a fire truck. But they don't take fire out of the truck and put it on the fire of the burning house. They put water, foam. But they don't fight fire with fire. That's a foolish thing to do. That will make that grudge harder, make relations harder. Don't carry that grudge. Speak softly. And everybody has to work on that. I've gotten caught in that trap many times in my life. Somebody say something unreasonable and untrue, or it's a lie, and I'll want to zap back. So we all need reminders on this, don't we? Third thing, you're right there in Proverbs, go to 14. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So the third thing is, consider the harm that you're doing to your household. The home is supposed to be like the little heaven on earth. It's supposed to be a place where you can get peace. You can learn, grow, study, get along with God, pray. You wonder why a lot of guys, if they're at work and they all of a sudden don't come home, because they know what they're going to come home to. They'll go down to the bar. Boy, that old grudge make you angry. You just carry it day after day after day, year after year. What a weight to have to drag along every day of your life. Trying to help you tonight. Consider you're harming not only yourself, but those people in your home also. It negatively affects the way the person's parents, children. Shows the children that you have less patience and you're quicker to snap. And you know what children do. They interpret that as that it's their fault. And then the relatives, they hear about the squabble, and then they start picking sides. Why is all this happening? Somebody carried a grudge. They got angry, but they sinned. They sinned by carrying it over to the next day. They didn't love. They didn't forgive. So a family unit can further erode. You don't get rid of that grudge. When you have a grudge, it means less time spent on fostering emotionally positive home for a child. Push the grudge out the door and get back to focusing on what's important. because your grudge is not important. The fourth thing as I hurry tonight, 2 Timothy 2. It says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, arguments. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. See what a grudge will do? You have something you're opposing yourself, making yourself worse and sadder. If God peradventure will give them repentance, that's what you need, to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That's what a grudge is. Who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, the fourth thing is starve the grudge. Don't talk about it. Avoid verse 23. It's all foolishness. It's unlearned. In other words, usually the person that's spouting off doesn't know anything about the subject that they're talking about. They don't even have the facts straight. And this goes on and on, right, every day. So you got to watch. You need to have a good sense of the topics when you get together for family and all of these things, you know, and relatives. Maybe there's a hot topic, and maybe you need to avoid that. It's just going to make worse until there's repentance in the heart. Steer clear of it. No good will come of discussing that subject. They've already got their mind made up. They don't want to hear nothing. Okay? I got my mind made up. Don't tell me the truth.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you do with a person like that? Well, they got to repent. They got to realize their situation, what they're doing to themselves and everybody around them. Because if you do, it's going to be a heated debate and everything, and it's going to end up in a seething stalemate. Nobody wins. No good will come from that. Steer clear of the discussion in the first place. How about Proverbs 29? Goes along with that soft answer. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. That anger that turns into a grudge which you carry foolishly through your life, you're always going to have fights and walls that you put up, so forth. So it's better to steer clear of gossip. The gossipers, you know, they just pour fuel on the fire. Because 99.9% of all gossip are lies. They're exaggerations.
Bended truth.
They don't have the facts straight at all. You do not know the rest of the story. So that's why the Bible gives us these verses to try to help us in our everyday life. And such negative talk just fuel the bitter feelings. Make the situation worse. Proverbs 26, you're right there. Won't even make you work. Proverbs 26 and in verse 20. It says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, gossiper, the strife ceaseth. Don't put up with gossip. The last thing, fifth thing on this Wednesday night, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and in verse 4. Part of the Lord's Prayer says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Bible goes on and tells us, and Matthew also, that in the Lord's Prayer, if you do not forgive that person, you will not be forgiven of yours. Remember that as you forgive, you will be forgiven. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to forgive me about lots of things all day long. So I better be forgiving other people too. You get down to the bottom of the subject of a grudge, it's simply a refusal to forgive someone who's wronged you. It's all it boils down to. You just won't forget. You won't get over it. You won't let it go. You know, carry it along as long as you can. It'll kill you sooner or later. It'll probably kill some other people around you too. Terrible life to live. Trying to save you from that. Because we're flawed, we're quick to ask for forgiveness from others, but we're unwilling to extend forgiveness to them because they don't deserve it. Yeah, as if you deserve it. Colossians 3. Am I getting right down to the bare bone tonight or what? Colossians 3. God expects you to show humility in forgiving. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's a good time during prayer when our thoughts and our hearts are united with God to do some forgiving. Whether it's as we gather together here or at home, I hope you're praying every day. Many people say they are and they aren't. Mark 11, just two more scriptures. Mark 11, 25. Mark 11:25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Well, it's almost like what the preacher said. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Hard words the Lord is laying down to us. And it's important for you not just to use the word forgive, but it's important that you conscientiously let go of that ill will. Forgive and forget and get on with it. Get on with life. It's too short. Life is too precious to be carrying around that ball and chain called a grudge. One last verse in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and in verse 3. This is a great verse for all areas, but it says a prudent man, in other words, he's wise, he's got insight. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. He sees the bad thing coming, and he hideth himself. Let the simple pass on and are punished. We've got to find a balance in both forgiving our trespassers and protecting ourselves from that danger of getting a grudge that we carry. A lot of people don't want to remember the good things, they only major on the bad things. And that's the way the history of lives and families go. All they want to do is bring up the bad things. What is it? Philippians 4:8 tells us to think on the things that are nice. Lists a whole bunch of good things there. Life's too precious to spend it gnashing your teeth at someone else's bad behavior. To release a grudge, the grudge's hold on you by switching your focus to peace and humility and forgiveness. That's your choice. You've got free will. If you want to ruin yourself, your life, and everybody else around you, just don't repent. But remember, you will stand in front of a righteous judge one day and give an account for the life that you lived down here and the messages you heard to be able to correct your life. I tried to give it in love tonight. Will you give me a pat on the back for that? I didn't scream too much. Okay.